Well, I did get out the old Proverbs 31 notes, and then I thought I'm going to hold it off for another year. That's part of the problem, being in the same place for nearly 40 years. Can't do Proverbs 31 year after year after year for Mother's Day. It no doubt is the best text. A woman of virtue who can find, or an excellent woman who can find, depending on how we translate it. But we'll put that one off yet for another year. Then I feel like it's long enough. So I thought we would review women in the temple. And if you picked up notes on the way in, that's good. If you don't have them, Steve Hayward has some more. You'll want kind of a picture of the temple and then some notes about women in temple times. So there's two pages. Okay, everybody has them. Here it comes. While they're getting passed out, we will review about the temple in general before we get to women in the temple. These notes, again, are from the German Messianic Jew. Bible studies can be done in any nationality, and of course the Old Testament's in Hebrew, and so any nationality can learn Hebrew in seminary and get very good at Old Testament. The Talmud, Jewish customs, non-biblical, was written in Hebrew, but all the commentaries on it are in German. One wonders what happened to one of the main commentators, written in 1924. Wonder if Hitler got them. I could look that up sometime, maybe. But in studying what went on in the temple, it's very, very good to look at Christians who are Jewish, who can read all these German commentaries. So that's kind of what we're following. We're going to look at the Bible's practices, and then we'll look at what did the Talmud say, mostly about what did the Talmud say that the ladies would do in the times of the temple and the times of worship. Before that, let's just talk about everybody, men and women in temple times. Of course, the priests were all men, and the temple was divided on the inside. Once you get through the gate of the temple on the inside, there is the furthest one in as the Holy of Holies. And then the next one in is the Holy Place. Relative to the Holy of Holies, it was hidden by a veil or tapestry. And in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark was or had been, only the high priest would go in there. And only once a year could he go in there, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Deep in there was the golden-covered ark with cherubim. And from Moses' day, there was some manna inside of it and the books of the law inside of it. And only the high priest could go in there, and only once a year. A tapestry covered it up, and not as far in was the Holy Place, not the Holy of Holies with the Ark, but the Holy Place covered by a big tapestry. And inside of the Holy Place was a table of bread and a menorah, or we would say a lampstand. Now that's Moses in the Tabernacle 1, but when Solomon built his temple, there were 10. There were 10 lampstands. There were 10 tables of bread in Solomon's time, and then also in the rebuilt temple of Jesus' time. So only the high priest should go in where the ark is. Once a day, some priests would go in the other holy place, and you'd have a priest come in and make sure all the candles could be lit, the lampstands, make sure they had oil, make sure they were burning and making light. Once a week, I would think it'd be a team of priests that'd come in, They'd take the old bread out. They were tables. They weren't real big, but they'd take the old bread out and put the new bread in. So only the high priest once a year where the ark is. The holy place, every day somebody went in there. He will make sure the lights were lit and make sure once a week that they had fresh bread. But the biggest honor there was every morning somebody would come in and they would light the altar of incense. We'd say perfume, and it would smell good, and they would pray. Then they could come out to the temple steps and lead the whole nation in prayer, standing next to the high priest. So every day an ordinary priest would be chosen by lots. These were what we would call dice. They were maybe little wood blocks or little stones. And John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias, he got chosen once. That was once in a lifetime. Otherwise, they'd take your name off the stones and you didn't get picked again. And they would go in before the big tapestry. Can't see the ark. It's back here. But they would light the altar of incense. They would pray. Then they would come out and lead the nation in prayer. These are all priests. There were about, we think, 3,000 priests who lived in Jerusalem year-round. And then there were 24 divisions that lived in all the little towns, all outside. And they would come once every 6 months. Their area, their course, the Bible calls them, their division got to come. 1 week every 6 months. That would be 2 weeks a year. And again, that makes 48. What about the other four? Well, everybody was supposed to come, those other four. So, all men, all priests, I think I'll get away with it. The Hebrew word for priest is Cohen. So if you know of anybody in the news, their last name is Cohen, that comes from a priestly family, and isn't that weird? Anyway, the Greek word for non-priestly family is laos. We get laity from it. And we'll start to talk about the non-priest. Among the non-priests, they didn't descend from Aaron. The men and the women did different things, but I was surprised in looking at these books, you know, maybe 10 years ago, one of them 30 years ago, but reviewing it 10 years ago, I was surprised that the men and the women that were not priests, they ended up being just about as close to the holy place. They would go in different directions, but they ended up really being able to see about the same. So we see in Jesus' interest in women. Let me review that. When he would talk, he very often had part of his sermon for men and part of his sermon for women. Yeah. I am going to argue he's like the Old Testament, but not like the rabbis of his time. The rabbis of his time were a lot more hostile to women. The Old Testament was different, and I would say Jesus was different. Jesus' teaching was balanced. In Matthew 12:50, whoever does the will of my Father, he is my brother and my sister. Jesus put in both of them. In Luke 15, he gave one parable, go find the lost sheep. And then he gave the other parable, the lady sweeps the house. And Jesus said when he comes back, there will be men out in the field, but then there will be women grinding the wheat. So he keeps doing balance. Jesus was balanced. He was thinking of all of his audience. And I would say that even though men have authority in the home, and in the Bible, men were priests, and in the Bible, men are pastors and elders, but in terms of closeness to God and personal value, they are the same. And I would say Jesus was more in keeping with the Old Testament himself than, say, the priests of his day, which I have quotes from them, and I won't read them all, but Well, here's one of them. This is from the Talmud. Talk not much with womankind. They said this of a man's own wife, how much more of somebody else's wife? Hence the sages have said, he that talks much with women brings evil upon himself, neglects the study of the law, and at last will inherit Gehenna. And that's kind of bad. Talk to ladies and you'll go to hell. I mean, that's rabbinic quotes. I got three or four more. The rabbis, the priests of Jesus' day were a lot more hostile. When you look at the way he did it, back and forth, back and forth. Same way, he's following the Old Testament. Old Testament, both made in the image of God, book of Genesis, all through Proverbs. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Proverbs 18, Proverbs 31, we left out. A few books, Ruth and Esther, first part of 1 Samuel. I would say Jesus is following the Old Testament. He's following the real Jewish teaching. And the people of his day had kind of been moved into a little bit harsher. Now, we are going to read some Bible verses, but let's first look at our picture of the temple and then some notes to go alongside it. We'll do both at the same time. What you're looking at is called the Court of Women. Now, the yellow part on the top, that's behind the gate, and that's where the door to the holy place is. And ordinary people could not go inside the yellow part, could not go inside the holy place. A chosen priest got to go in there every morning and light the incense, but not ordinary people. Let's follow German Jewish Christian picture. And by the way, it's kind of funny. Read this German Jewish Christian book, and the theology is the same as the church. It's exactly the same. He come in and signed this doctrinal statement, but English is not his main language. He just first learned it in Hebrew and German and just read the Bible and ends up being the same. We have number one on our notes, this big gate, the Nicanor Gate. Nicanor was a big donor to the temple, so he got the gate named after him. Nicanor Gate. And they would open it, couldn't go into the holy place, could kind of look in there. Now, the best way to say how big this gate was would to say it's bigger than this auditorium. It's bigger. If you took this auditorium back here, the baptistry, and could flip it up and make a gate out of it, this gate was bigger than that. When they opened it every morning, it took 15 priests to push it open, because it's nice and heavy. And the Nicanor Gate, they would open it up. Then they would have these steps. That's number two. Steps are kind of hard to see in the picture, but there they are, steps in number two. And the choir would sing there, and in my opinion, ladies could sing there too. I think maybe the men and the women were separated or different sides of the choir, but I think ladies could go up on those steps and sing. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Now, our picture has number three to say where it is. Number three would be the offering boxes. And Jesus said he could see people putting things in the offering boxes, and they are, again, kind of like they were like upside-down tubas, and they put the coins in them, and they'd ring, go down, like a charity game, ring, go down. And Jesus said the widow gave all that she had. He was watching her over here. And the arrogant people would try to make clanking noises on the money they were putting in, so it would ring and go down. And he would call that the sounding of the trumpet. They did call these chests trumpets because they were like upside-down tubas going down into it. So women standing on there. Number four helps with women. Now the men could go through the gate 16 and a half feet further. Women couldn't go through the gate. But women could go in number four up on top. So you have men going 16 and a half feet closer. That's not real closer. It's kind of like where the front row is here. The men could come in a little bit and see a little bit closer, but the ladies could go around and go up to where number four is, and they could stand on the balconies and the galleries, and they could look down. So they are, men were 16 and a half feet closer, but the platform's kind of like this. And the women could go around and go up and look down. So which is a better view? The men are a little closer and lower, and the women are 16 and a half feet back, but they are way up high. And they can look down, they can see the altar of burnt offerings, and they can see the big water basin. So, like in my opinion, end up being about the same for what we might call the non-priest. The laity ends about being the same. Now, number five has nothing to do with women, but number five is a great big long column or pillar. These are the lights. You see on the top, they kind of have a little bit gold candlesticks on our picture. These are the city lights. I mean, there's one inside the holy place, a little bitty, candlestick. But these are the great big ones. And Jesus was probably looking at one of those lit up. When they lit up, you see them all around the city at night. And when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," he probably was pointing right at that in the dark, pointing at the big light up there. "I am the light of the world," and got nothing to do with the ladies. But can you imagine climbing the ladder to go up there and light that thing? I would, if I were around, I'd get some 20-year-old Levite to do it, and I wouldn't get anywhere near going up there. So, that's the first part. The women were higher, 16 and a half feet further back. The men were lower. They could go a little bit further in, but they're lower looking at a platform, and the women are up high looking down at it. In my opinion, it ends up being just about the same view. Each has advantages. Seems to be about the same view. The next thing I'd like you to look at, Psalm 68, and we'll talk about women singing. And while you're finding that, Psalm 68, I'll read for us some of the other verses that are here. The references are on your notes. Exodus 38. "Moreover, he," Moses, "made a laver of bronze from the mirrors of the serving women who are at the doorway of the temple of the meeting." So, in Exodus 38, there were these ladies at the door of the tabernacle. That's kind of why this habit continued way down into the temple of Jesus. Now, Psalm 68 is not about the temple, but it's about bringing the ark into the temple. And there will be a reference to women in verses 24 and 25. Like glance at verse 17, they're singing, "Chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands." Verse 18, "You have ascended on high." And they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant when they say, "You have ascended on high," they're bringing the Ark up, but it's used of Jesus' quote in the book of Ephesians. Verses 24 and 25, they're carrying the Ark around, and we're mainly looking at the women. Verse 24, "They have seen your procession, O God, O procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary." They're carrying the ark into the city. "The singers went on, the musicians after them, in the midst of the maidens beating tambourines." So that's our main emphasis for today, verse 25. They're bringing the ark into the city. And the ladies are in the procession. The ladies are doing music. Some of the other references there, First Chronicles talks about 14 sons and 3 daughters, and these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord. So, looks like the ladies could go up to those steps and sing in the house of the Lord. Ezra and Nehemiah, maybe a decade different. One has 200 men and women in the choir, and one has 245 men and women in the choir. So, in terms of going in, men could go closer, women could go higher. Now, section number 3 concerns the bringing of the animal sacrifices. Our picture is looking at the front going in. Animal sacrifices were on the right. I didn't make a picture of that. I mean, the book has them. They were on the right. Animal sacrifices came in. And we all knew they'd lay their hand on the animal sacrifice. That's a picture of sin being transferred. Then they'd bring the animal sacrifice in. Was it always men who would bring the animal sacrifice in? They're kind of getting to the temple platform. Was it always men? Or could ladies bring the animal sacrifice in and lay their hands on it? Leviticus 4:27, if anyone of the common people sins, bring an offering. You'd say that. It does talk about men following, but you don't know whether it means any of the people. But sometimes men means human. But I will say that the Talmudic experts do think that the ladies could bring sacrifices also. I think Leviticus might allow that. I wouldn't say Leviticus would rule it out, but our Talmudic scholars that can read all the commentaries in German say ladies could bring in sacrifices on the side, so that when they would bring in an animal and lay hands on it, it could be men, but it could also be ladies. That's what the Talmudic scholars think. And I would think the Bible allows that. So our picture was going in from the front, ladies on the choir steps. When they did divide, you know, husbands and wives would go in together to listen to the music. When they did divide, the men would go through the door and the women would go around and go up in the gallery. And the closer they get, they did have to separate. Men closer, women higher. Then maybe off to the right, women could bring animal sacrifices. The closest they could get was at the time of a baby dedication. So we're at number 4 in our notes, and I would like us to read kind of like the end of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. Can you come to Luke chapter 2, please? Luke chapter 2, we'll talk about baby Jesus at 8 days, and then baby Jesus at the end of the purification, that would be 40 days. So we're in Luke 2:22, and baby Jesus is 40 days old, and he's got to go be dedicated in the temple. Verse 22, when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they, that would be father and mother, brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now, verse 27. And he, we're talking about Simeon, but he came in the spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then Simeon took him and blessed him. Verse 33, his father and a mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Now I picked these verses because it's Joseph and Mary, father and mother. Go to the temple to dedicate him. We both go together. Go to the temple dedication. And it is believed they both went together, fathers and mothers. Both brought the baby in. Now, the Bible doesn't say where the baby dedication is, but our Talmudic scholars do say so. If you brought an animal, you go over to the right. You brought a baby, you go over to the left. So, animals one way, sacrifice, babies over the left. And where our Talmudic scholars place the baby dedication, right near the holy place. In other words, they couldn't go inside the holy place. They couldn't go see that furniture. They couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, but they could come up right to the platform. And I would think that the closest any lay person would ever be to the Holy of Holies, couldn't look inside, but I would think the closest they would ever be is at a baby dedication. And they couldn't see it because it's a wall. But, you're coming in and over here's the Holy of Holies and over here's the holy place and there's a wall and the priest comes out to meet them and they probably hold up the baby to the priest right there on the platform right outside the Holy of Holies. So the closest any dad or mom would ever get to the holy place is at the time of baby dedication. As close as a lay person could ever get to the presence of God was at a time of baby dedication. So relative to women in temple days, I think they probably could see just about the same thing as men. Men can go 16 and a half feet closer in, but are lower. Women go up to the gallery up above and look down in it. It is believed that the ladies could bring sacrifices. That would be off to the right. They're a little bit closer to the Holy of Holies, going off to the right to bring animal sacrifices. When they brought a baby dedication, they'd go off the left. That seems to be the closest. That seems to be the closest anybody in their life would get to the Holy of Holies, that's a lay person, would be at the time of baby dedication. So we like what the Bible teaches about that. We also like what our Christian, Jewish, Talmudic scholars who can read German have done. Ladies could be close too. Will the musicians please come?